这个法会呀，波说法这个法会有十种的众，十种的众，第一种就是影响众。怎么叫影响众呢？这就是啊，十方的大菩萨，他本来呀，对佛的警戒，佛所说的法，他都听过了。不但听过一位佛所说的法，十方诸佛所说的法，他都听过了，他也都明白了，他也都记得了。啊，他根本就不需要听了，那么他还来听法，佛呀，出世，这大菩萨，有的从地涌出的，也有的从天而降的，也有的从虚空来的，也有的从十方微尘国度来的，到这儿来啊，听佛说法，这叫影响众。有常随众，这个1250个弟子，就是啊，常常随着佛啊听法，佛到什么地方，这些个弟子就到什么地方。那么最初成佛呀，啊，虽然没有1250个弟子在旁边，但是这个十方菩萨来做常随众。在这个华严法会他常常不离开。又有这护法众，护法众呢是来呀保护着佛呀说法的，说佛已经成佛，有种种的神通妙用，为什么还要保护呢？佛虽然有神通，但是啊，这个弟子，这个菩萨弟子，要啊尽他们自己的责任，啊，做这护法众。又有言会众，在这个法会呀，为这庄严的法会。啊，这叫言会众。又有供养众，那么这法会有人呢，要没有人供养，这也是不行的。所以呀，要有供养众。又有发心众，啊，就有一般人来发心，啊，护持。这个法会又有人做这个当机众，当机众啊，就是佛为这些个众生说法，这叫当机众。又有表法众，这个代表这个法的这一类的众生，也正法众啊，他正得这个法了，回这得出果、二果、三果、四果，在这个就是佛这一说法，他就正果了。这正法众，有显法众，显就是显命出来，令这个佛法呀都显明显出来。所以呀，有这十种的众来呀，成就这个法会。那么在这个金山寺的护法，出家人就是啊修行啊，从事弘法工作。在家人就应该呀 扶起宅院，做着护法的工作，啊，要啊尽上每一个护法尽上自己呀、啊、应该尽的这个宅院，不要到庙到这个，啊，道场里边来找毛病，不要看这个也不对了，那个也不好了。不要这样子，你尽你的护法心，你有你的功德，如果要是到道场里来找毛病，那不但没有功德，而且有罪过了。那么在昨天这个果通和果童来要求啊要供养三宝，本来呢说过在什么地方供养，不到外边去，那么但是我看他们很诚心的，他们要在这个感恩节啊供养三宝，就是啊23那一天，是礼拜四，我想俺们又可以啊这多一点好东西，所以我就答应了，我说啊你们要预备一点好的，我现在馋了，俺们我答应了，不知有人愿意去，没有人愿意去。要是愿意去的就去，不愿意去的就不需要去。啊，说师父馋了，我这个做徒弟的不馋，我不愿意去吃去，那么也可以的。所以，以后无论有什么事情，谁愿意去的就去，不愿意去的就不去。不要另外要找一个方法才可以不去，不要这样子。
Lotus blossom, Kendriff, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, universal wisdom cloud, sun banner, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. What's meant by well vigorous?Lotus flower, Kendra, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. This Bodhisattva is a great Bodhisattva, and he's vigorous to the extreme. He's well vigorous. In all the manifestations of the Bodhisattva conduct, he is never lazy. So, being vigorous, he's accomplished, he isentered into the Avatamsaka assembly. And because of his great vigor, he has seen the great jewel of all bodhisattvas, that is, in his headdress, or on the... In his headdress, there's a great jewel, which is like a lotus flower. The lotus flower is round and represents perfection.And the jewel atop the Bodhisattva's head represents the manifestation of the Buddha jewel as it teaches in the world. So this Bodhisattva, because of his great vigor, has attained the ability to display the Dharma in the world and teach living beings. And so he is a Bodhisattva, and not only a Bodhisattva, but a great Bodhisattva.Because he has reached the stage of being able to represent the Buddha in speaking the Dharma. This is why he is not only a Bodhisattva, but a great Bodhisattva. Universal wisdom cloud, sun banner, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. Universal wisdom cloud means this Bodhisattva's wisdom is not a small wisdom. It's not the kind of wisdom which perhaps...is from reading books. or from merely sitting in dhyana. But this bodhisattva's wisdom is vast like a cloud and covers the Dharma realm. His universal wisdom, again, is like a cloud because it covers living beings. And through the use of his wisdom, he covers and protects living beings so that they may be taught. And his wisdom is great. It's universal. It's not small. And his universal wisdom not only is like a cloud, but also like a great sun banner. Now, what is a sun banner? A sun banner is brilliant. It is a banner like these banners here in the Buddha Hall. But it is like the sun in its brilliance, which radiates throughout the Dharma realm, so that his wisdom covers all living beings and also illumines them. And it is said to be a banner because it hangs down from the position of the bodhisattva down to the position covering all realms of existence. And he is a bodhisattva who wants to teach living beings, a great bodhisattva of the assembly of the Avatamsaka.
Yeah. Daming the Shen Mei Yin Pusa Mohasa Da Fu Guang Chir Shang Pusa Mohasa.
Great vigor, adamantine navel. Mahasapa. Vigor. What is meant by great vigor? Vigor is not the kind of vigor which was spoken of before, although it is similar. This kind of vigor is not referring to great heroism, but to great energy, to really working very hard. This bodhisattva worked very hard in his cultivation. And so he attained to an adamantine navel. Now, what does adamantine navel mean? Adamantine is vajra. Adamantine is indestructible. Now, why is he called indestructible navel? Navel is a source of life. Every living being, when he is born, has a navel, which is what connected him with his mother. And the same way this bodhisattva is connected with the Buddha from the Dharma from which he was born. And so it is said adamantine navel, because he is a non-retreating bodhisattva. He's a bodhisattva, a great bodhisattva of the assembly. Fragrant, blazing light banner, bodhisattva mahasattva. This bodhisattva is known as fragrant blazing light banner. Fragrance refers to the cultivation of the precepts. And having cultivated the precepts for a long time, he fills the Dharma realm with fragrance, which blazes like light. It is so intense. And so he is called fragrant blazing light banner. Banner represents his great heroism. And also that he is a bodhisattva, a mahasattva, who teaches all living beings. Great, bright virtue, profoundly beautiful sound, bodhisattva, mahasattva. This bodhisattva has cultivated for asankhyas of kalpas. And his virtue from all his practice and his benefiting of living beings radiates throughout the assembly like a great brightness. What did this bodhisattva cultivate? What practice did he do? He practiced great compassion, and so he is known as profoundly beautiful sound, bodhisattva. Because sound represents the teaching of living beings. The manifestation of the teaching in the Saha world is by means of sound. And because he taught, because he practiced for so long and his virtue is so great, when he speaks Dharma, it is profound and beautiful. He causes all living beings to be really happy and joyous. This Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. Blessings, light, wisdom born, Bodhisattva, Mahasattva. This Bodhisattva, this great Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, has, when he was in his all his cultivation, has done a great deal of blessings. He's practiced, he's protected the Dharma and always protected living beings. And so as a result, he has attained to great blessings. His great blessings are like a brilliant light, which living beings may look at as a model. And by seeing his great blessings, know to cultivate blessings. Because if you don't cultivate blessings, your cultivation will be very bitter. There will be no way to completely fulfill your way karma. Wisdom born. Why is he called wisdom born? Because he knew to cultivate great blessings. He had practiced wisdom, and so because of his wisdom, he was able to cultivate and accomplish and attain to a brilliant light of great blessings. So he was born of the wisdom which knew to cultivate great blessings. This Bodhisattva, this great Bodhisattva of the assembly of the Avatamsaka Sutra. And this concludes the list of the leaders of the Bodhisattva assembly at the way place of Shakyamuni Buddha when he first attained to the utmost right and perfect enlightenment.
讲的大致还过得去，可以了。入世等而为上首，由是佛世界微尘数，此诸菩萨往昔皆于毗卢遮那如来共济善根。 修菩萨行，皆从如来善根海生。前面这二十位菩萨是这个诸位大菩萨之中的上首，所以说入世等而为上首，像前边所讲的二十位菩萨。 是不是二十位？是的，有十佛世界。那么这二十位啊，是其中的代表者。要是啊，总体来说，有十佛世界，那么多的微尘数。 有这么多的菩萨，这个十佛世界在啊每一个世界其中的微尘，又作为一个世界。那么你想一想，这么多的微尘，有多少世界？有那么多的数目，本来这个数目呢，就是 没有人可以测量的，就菩萨用佛眼来测量也测量不出来，那么只有佛眼才能知道有这么多。因为佛呀不答妄语的，他多少就说是多少。此诸菩萨，那么十佛世界微尘数，这么多的菩萨，往昔皆于毗卢遮那如来共计善根，在无量无量无量劫以前，这些个菩萨都跟着这个毗卢遮那佛这光明遍照这一位如来共计善根，大家在一起积聚这个善根，共计善根不是说把这个善根菩萨和毗卢遮那佛都放的积聚到一起，不是的，自己积聚自己的善根，不过都在一个法会上，都在一个法会上啊，跟着毗卢遮那佛，那么各修个人的六度万行，那么积聚他这个善根，修这个善功德，勤修善功德，停止罪孽过，因为这样子，所以叫共济善根。好像我们现在在这儿，这也是共济善根的。你也万千精进去修行你的横门，我也万千去精进修行我的横门，各修个人呢所愿意修的这种横门，那么也就是啊，勤修善功德，停止罪孽过，那么这样呢就共济善根。修诸修菩萨横，那么怎么能记善根呢？就是要修菩萨横。菩萨横是什么呢？就是利人利众生，自利利他，自脚脚他，自度度他，修这个菩萨横，皆从如来善根海生，都从啊毗卢如来善根犹如大海里边生出来的。那么因为这些菩萨的善根就好像江河湖一样，这个佛的这种善根就好像大海，所以呀，虽然是各记起自己的善根，然而也都流入到这个佛教的大海里边来，所以呀，这叫如来善根海胜。国普，你明天的学生有多少学生来啊？明天晚间5:30，国普有一些学生来，他们来呢，他们预备到这儿坐禅。本来我们这5:30是讲中文，但是他们这是临时的，可以就改为坐禅。坐禅呢，他们然后再给他们讲一讲开始，然后就讲经。诸波罗 字是众多的意思，就很多很多的这个波罗蜜系圆满的，完全呢都圆满啊，就是无欠无余了，也就是啊这个波罗蜜都到彼岸了。这波罗蜜是梵语，梵语叫波罗蜜，翻译过来这个意思就叫到彼岸，也就是啊所作已办了，不受后有了，这都可以叫波罗蜜。那么又可以用这个诸字当语助词，就是这个波罗蜜，哪一个波罗蜜呢？你修的哪一个波罗蜜就是哪一个波罗蜜啊，你修不是波罗蜜，这个诸字就是不是波罗蜜，你修持戒波罗蜜，这个诸就是啊持戒到彼岸了，你修忍辱波罗蜜，这个诸字就说你这个忍辱的功夫已经到彼岸了，已经做得很圆满了。那么精进波罗蜜，这个诸字就是说的你修的这个精进已经圆满了，已经到彼岸了啊，就是你啊已经毕业了啊，已经 passed 的啊。那么要没有波罗蜜就是没有 passed 的，你这考试还不及格呢啊。这个你要修禅定波罗蜜，这个诸字就是啊，说你这个禅定的功夫已经到彼岸了，已经没有问题了啊， OK 了啊。什么 OK 了你不知道啊，等一等翻译出来你就知道了。那么你要修般若波罗蜜，这个诸字就是般若到彼岸了，所以说系已圆满，系啊就是完全的意思啊，已就是已经了，已经完全已经都圆满了。那么所以这个诸字也可以当众多来讲，也可以当语助词来讲啊。那么这个讲法虽然不同，意思是一样的。那么用语助词助了这个波罗蜜，助了那个波罗蜜啊，一助助了六个波罗蜜，所以啊还是多啊。单单一个波罗蜜来讲，单单一种来讲就可以当语助词，你要是啊把它合起来讲就是多啊，很多波罗蜜。那么总起来啊就说这个六度啊，要是啊详细说呢那是无量无边的波罗蜜。我本来啊想讲一个大概就可以，但是今天来一些个小朋友，这些小朋友啊在肚子里边呢或者脑里边呢就战争起来， 有一个就说，什么叫布施呢？没有听过这个名词。有人就说，啊，持戒是什么？有人又想了，谁怎么就应该忍辱呢？忍辱这是没有出息了，没有用了这个人。啊，那个人说，精进是不好的，精进呢，我在那地方懒惰一点，不读书，觉得很自然的。啊，这个精进没有什么意思。那个时候，哦，这个禅定，禅定，他们，说是禅定，但是他们禅而不定，啊。有的就说，哎，波罗蜜，波罗蜜拿来试一试好不好吃啊？有人又说了，啊，波罗，波罗是什么啊？怎么叫波罗呢？有这么多人在脑里边有这么多的问题，所以呀，啊，我不想讲啊，因为你脑里这么样一问我，我也要讲了，所以啊，那么再啊，稍微解释一下，要是详细解释，不要说两个钟头，啊，近未来际也说不完的。说那我不相信，你不相信，我也不需要你相信，不过就是这么告诉你。要你相信干什么？啊，你要一相信，那你就没有用了。啊，我就是想你不相信。哎，就是怎么妙？啊，你要不相信，那我就有办法了。你要一相信啊，我又没有工作了，因为你不相信，我可以讲多一点。你要一相信，那我就不需要讲了嘛。所以呀，啊，这个数目很好算的，啊，不需要读数学也会懂的。那么第一的波罗蜜就是布施，啊，这个布施就是啊，施舍，但是施舍。不是就是说个布施，哦，就是布施了。这布施有三种，总括起来说，要是啊详细说啊，也有百千万种那么多啊，再要问多了说，我不怕喝死你，有八万四千种那么多，就是一个布施就有八万四千种。因为每一个法门都有八万四千种那么多，啊，你要分析起来。要不分析，当然就是一个、两个、三个。所以呀，啊，现在我们就讲多了，人也记不住，就讲这三个。三个，第一个是什么呢？就是财死。这个财死啊，不容易做得到的。不容易做得到，为什么呢？在中国有这么一句俗话啊，这位周老居士一定是会知道的，说舍财入割肉啊，啊，舍这个财呀，啊，就像割肉那么痛，所以不容易舍的，不容易舍才要舍，你要容易舍那就又没有什么意思了。不容易舍的你能舍，那是真舍啊！啊，因为不容易，仁者先难而后怀呀，啊，仁者先难而后怀，这就是说的布施，这个很难的，你要从这个难里头能锻炼出来，能啊钻过去， 就不难了。所以说先难而后怀，后怀怀的什么？怀的功德啊。这第一是财死，第二呢啊就不是财死喽啊，就是法死。这个法思是什么呢？就是用这个佛法来布施给一切众生啊，和一切众生解这个法缘啊。你们今天各位这个小朋友或者是老同参啊，到这儿来了啊，那么我给你们现在说这个布施波罗蜜，这就叫法思啊。财法二思是等无差别，我给你们说法也和舍钱是一样的，不过这个呢更难，舍钱入割肉啊，法思入丢命。法思就像把生命都布施给你们了，这么重要。为什么这个法呀、啊、是能救人的生命的？但是啊，你布施出去自己呀、啊、也会少了一点啊。少了一点什么呢？少了一点你这个气力啊。所以气力就是生命。所以我讲给你们讲经，我要很用力的把这个每一个字每一句啊每一个意思要送到你耳朵里头去，放到你脑子里边，不准跑到外边去。你看这个啊，这也就是把我的生命啊送给你了。你看这很费气力的，不是很容易的。比那个财要是拿出来，我荷包里我这个袋里有钱拿出来随便给你没有事了。你看这讲经了讲完了觉得很辛苦的啊，你们年轻的人不懂啊，到年纪虽年纪大的人那就知道了啊。我不是向你们报功劳啊，要不然你们就可以来替我。那么我是很欢迎的。第二是法思，第三呢是无畏思。无畏思怎么叫无畏思呢？好像有什么飞灾横祸，或者有什么官非啊水火盗贼把你喝的哦甚至于啊魂飞魄散都跑了啊，魂派也跑了，这时候喝得不得了，那么来啊安慰这个人说你不要恐惧，诸佛菩萨会保护着你的。其实这个诸佛菩萨保护你不是诸佛菩萨保护你，就是你自己不恐惧了，你自己那个佛性啊平安了，这就诸佛菩萨保护你。不是说佛在这个无量无边的国土飞到这个地方来了念一个什么咒令你平安了，不是的啊。就是你这个在那个恐惧的时候有人呢来把你这个恐惧的纸招给你破了啊，你这就是诸佛菩萨来保护你了。你不要另外找一个说我怎么没看见呢，你看见个什么？你见鬼见啊！不要那么愚痴见啊！见有离见，见不可及，见呢要离开见，见不可及。你不要执着那个见啊，你要一有所执着啊，那就啊，中国有这么一句话，变成一个大笨蛋啊！这不是骂人，这是讲这个意思啊。那么这无畏死，这是三种。不懂了，什么叫大笨蛋呢？这个大笨蛋呢，就不会滚，不会动弹。 像一个死物一样。那么又有人生了一种怀疑心，是什么？哎，我打这个王祥你怎么知道呢？那你可以打这个王祥，你就不可以我知道？因为我和你一样，你打王祥，哎，我这个电波也就动了啊，就好像那个雷达似的。那每一个人的脑和脑啊都有雷达，你要会看这个雷达，嗯，你打什么王祥啊，哎，都现出来了。不要讲这么多的不合乎逻辑、不合乎科学的话。那么，我们还讲一讲这个持戒。啊，这个持戒，戒有五戒、八戒。五戒就是杀盗淫妄酒，啊，八戒、十戒、十众四十八轻戒、比丘250条戒、比丘尼348条戒。那么这个戒是个什么啊？戒就是个规律啊，就是啊修行的一个道路。所以你要想修行必须要啊持戒律，你要不想修行啊，那你要持戒律也比较好一点啊。所以啊，这个第二就持戒波罗蜜啊，第三就是忍辱波罗蜜。这个忍辱，方才有人说修忍辱的人没有出息啊，为什么要忍辱啊？女人才忍辱呢，男人谁忍什么辱？男人都是啊有一种大丈夫气，大英雄，大豪杰啊，这才是男人啊！我要什么忍呢？要什么辱呢？嗯，那你不能忍不能辱又有什么用啊？你说你是个大英雄，拔剑而起，挺身而斗，这是匹夫之勇，智可以敌人者也啊。孟子以前早就说的清清楚楚的，拔剑而起啊，拔着拔剑拔起来还站起来，嗯，挺身而斗，来看看啊，试一试啊，挺身而斗啊啊，这是匹夫之勇啊，就是一匹之夫的勇啊，敌人这人你只可以和一个人打。阿嬷你要能忍辱，这是啊万人敌，谁也敌不过你。所谓啊，柔能克刚，要能胜强啊，这个才是真正的大勇。所以啊，你要想大勇无敌于天下，你就忍了啊，你有一个忍，忍人所不能忍的啊。好像中国有个韩信，受辱胯下，欺师剽抹啊，然后他做着大元帅，哦，把楚霸王那个气能拔山，力能杠顶，哦，都给打败了，啊，就因为他忍辱，啊，你们要不相信，俺们这儿现在有个老夫子周老居士，他一定啊，很同意我这个说法。哎， You have a body like take notes. Maybe you, this teacher, like Rishi, you have people this notes. Next time, give you more, 给他多一点分。他们要记得清楚，你记不清楚就给少一点。又打了妄想的时候，这位法师大概是读心理学的吧？怎么我的打妄想他就知道呢？不错，我就是读心理学的。你们谁要有心理学的毛病，就来看这个，到这儿来就会没有了。如有生人、法人、无生法人，三种。生人就是啊，对一切众生都要有忍。法忍对一切法也都要有忍。无生法忍就对于这个无生法忍也应该忍。那么你能生忍就是忍空，你能法忍就是法空。你要在能这个没有少法生，没有少法灭，那么在这个时候人可于心，这就是中道。那么人空法空，你得到中道了义。忍精进法灭，精进呢就是不懒惰，就是对治懒惰的。那么精进又有身精进、心精进。精进身精进昼夜六时行道，心精进啊，念念求无上道，念念修无上道，念念悟无上道，念念正无上道，心精进。这个禅定到彼岸，你要能在这个禅上得到功夫了，随时随地都在这个定中得到禅定三昧，这也可以到彼岸。般若波罗蜜，般若是梵语，翻译过来叫智慧。般若呢也有三种，有文字般若、观照般若、实相般若。因为它多含，所以不翻。因为尊重也不翻，所以啊，这是六波罗蜜悉已圆满。悉就是完全，完全圆满，不但一个波罗蜜圆满了，所有的波罗蜜都圆满了，都是啊到彼岸了。所以啊，悉悉已圆满。明彻等观三世 欲住三昧具足清净，辩才入海广大无尽。具佛功德，尊严可敬，慧眼明澈，慧眼之一，那么其余的四眼是佛眼、法眼、天眼、肉眼，有五眼。人人呢都听过这个五眼。那么现在讲不仅仅这五眼，那么还有啊多，我想国库一定会知道的，所以啊这个由国库来讲一讲。
In addition to the five eyes just mentioned, there are another five eyes, which maybe from the two together can make up what's called the ten eyes. The first of these, second set of five eyes, is called, again called the wisdom eye, but it's the juror, it's not playing. I'm not really that sure of the difference between the two characters. And this wisdom eye is able to see all dharmas. The second of the second set of five is called the brilliance eye. Why is it called brilliance eye? Because this eye, the function of this eye, is able to see the brilliant light radiated by the Buddhas. So it's called the brilliance eye. The third of these five eyes, the second set of five eyes, is called the separating from birth and death eye. The separation from birth and death eye is able to see nirvana. That is, by using this eye which is separated from birth and death, one can fix on nirvana and see the other shore, and leave birth and death. The fourth of these five eyes is called the non-obstructed eye, because, fittingly enough, its vision is totally non-obstructed. There are no dharmas which are between it and what it wishes to see. Able to see pervasively throughout the Dharma realm. And the fifth of these five eyes is called the omnipotent eye, because it is able to see, and one should remember that the word see means to perceive in ways other than merely seeing as we know sight, but it's able to perceive all the myriad methods of dharmas that exist throughout the Dharma realm. It is able to see all possibilities and permutations throughout the Dharma realm. So this is what's meant by the Tana, if you take these two lists together.
前面我可以讲一讲。
The first five eyes of the first set of five eyes, that is, the fleshly eye, the heavenly eye, the wisdom eye, the dharma eye, the buddha eye, the fleshly eye is able to see everything with form. in other words, exceed obstructions. And it functions much in the way our, the eyes in front of our faces work. It's just able to see more clearly and to a greater distance. The heavenly eye is able to see in the heavens. It can see everything which is going on in the heavens. And it's also said to be able to see into the minds or see the thoughts of all living beings. And this is the heavenly eye. The wisdom eye is the third, and this is quaid, not jur, as in the others have, is able to see the state of the roots of all living beings, whether they have good roots or bad roots or whatever. The wisdom eye is able to discriminate these kinds of states. The dharma eye is the fourth, and is able to see the actual real appearance of all dharmas. The dharma eye discriminates reality, the real appearance of dharmas. The fifth of the five eyes, the first set of five eyes, is called the Buddha eye. Now, the Buddha eye is able to see throughout the dharma realm, and is able to perceive everything. There is nothing which the Buddha eye is unable to see. Now, of these five eyes, the first four, although it is said there are five eyes, the first four, the functions of the first four are included in the functioning of the Buddha eye, which is more complete than the others, in that it's able to see all manner of states. The five eyes are something which are obtained from cultivation. It's not that you decide to cultivate the five eyes and obtain them, but they are obtained from the cultivate, just the practice of the way, and are what might be called a reward of practice, and they spontaneously manifest. These five eyes, again, although it is said there are five eyes, in reality there are innumerable eyes. There are 1,000 eyes or 10,000 eyes. And they are all manifestations and functions of the Buddha nature, the pure nature. These five eyes belong to the Buddha, but they also, all living beings, can obtain the five eyes by practice of the way.